been singing, "When It's Springtime in the Rockies." I don't know why, but I've been hoping it would become spring. And I've been singing. I got in the car the other day, and Jim Cunningham drove into church, and I was singing, "When It's Springtime in the Rockies." And I've been singing it for days, and I think a couple of weeks now. I met a fellow named Winston one day, and oh, why? But all day I hum, "Winston tastes good like a cigarette should." Folks said, "What are you singing?" Oh, my soul, I didn't know it. I have a word association, and I associate words with songs. I was at O'Hare Field waiting to get checked in, the ticket counter, and I saw the planes taking off, and I got to humming and singing a little bit. "Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away," you know, associating with the flying. And I was humming it, and I forgot where I was. I started patting my foot, you know, tum, 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 tum. Started clapping my hand like that. And so a lady in front of me, she looked like about 75 years old, she turned around and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "Some folks call that singing." And there I was singing, "I'll fly away, oh glory." And so she said, "Well, what's the song about?" And I told her, I said, "Someday Jesus is going to come, and he's going to take me up to heaven, and I'm going to be with him forever. It's called the rapture." She said, "Called the what?" I said, "Called the rapture." I said, "All the dead people that are saved, that are what?" I said, "Saved." She said, "What's that?" Oh, boy, that's automatic pen setter, isn't it? And so I told her. We had a long line. I was waiting to go to Alaska, and there's a long line there. The plane was going to go to Alaska and on to Tokyo, Japan. And so one of these big giant planes, I guess we were 150th in line. And so I got to tell her about Jesus and got her saved there, waiting for the plane, all because I was humming a song. I was out at O'Hare Field waiting for my bags, and waiting for my lags and my baggage and my cootsaces and my creef base. And so I was waiting for it, and I was singing. Oh, what was it? Oh, I know. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And a fellow beside me had on a navy suit, and he was up in years. He leaned over and he said, "You must be a Christian." And I said, "Yes, sir, I am a Christian." And he said, he began to cry, and he said, "Oh, I love to hear the songs of God sung out in public." And I said, "What's your name?" He told me. I said, "Where do you live?" He said, "I've served God for many, many years. I think," he said, "nearly 50, on the foreign mission field. And my health is broken now, and I've got to come back, either his wife's health or his, I've got to come back home. I didn't want to come back home." But he said, "You have no idea how it made me feel to hear you humming and whistling and singing, 'There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar.'" I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the airport, caught a plane. I set up in the no-smoking section, and I was the only person in the no-smoking section. A lot of folks back in the smoking section, I was the only person. Now, you think it's not hard to do all the no-smoking on an airplane by yourself. You try it sometime. And there I was, having to take care of all the no-smoking by myself, and I had the little song that I hum so often. "I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful love in the Bible I see, and this is the reason that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me." And the stewardess walked by, and she said, "You sound like you're happy." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am happy." And she said, "What kind of music is that?" I don't know why I said it. I had never said it before. I don't know why. I said, "It's rock and roll." And I didn't know where I was going to go. I had no plan. I had no preconceived idea what I was going to do or say. She said, "It's what?" And I said, "It's rock and roll." And she said, "That's rock music? It doesn't sound like rock music." She said, "Sing me some of it." And I started singing, "Rock of Ages, live for me." And she laughed, and she laughed. And, "Oh, that kind of rock." She said, "Where did you get the roll?" I said, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Had to get the roll somewhere, you know. And she laughed and laughed, and she said, now that's funny. She said, I'm glad to see a happy man. And I said, you've met a happy man? And I said, I can tell you how to be happy too. And I told her about Jesus, and standing up there in the aisleway, and all the smokers looking at her, and she bowed her head and with tears received Christ. And she sat down. I got the Bible, taught her a few things about the Bible, and I had somebody to help me do the no smoking then. Didn't have to do it all by myself. But you know, it's a marvelous thing. The Bible's true when it says, the Lord hath put a new song in my heart. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so glad I don't have to borrow the devil's song. I'm so glad there's a lilt and a joy and delight and a thrill about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, at the dawn of creation, the Bible says, the morning stars sang together. Now, I've always said that that means the angels, because in the Bible, the stars are symbolic of the angels. That means the angels sang together. I did not know till recently that Plato said, son, be still now on the front. Son, sit back to be still. And I did not know till recently that Plato said that he thought the stars actually produced music. I don't know about that, but I wouldn't be surprised that they don't have some kind of way to... The Bible says the Lord knoweth the stars by name and calleth the stars by name. I wouldn't be surprised at what the stars and the universe can't make music. And when Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, by the way, did you know they crossed the Red Sea on the same month and the same day of the month as our Lord rose from the dead? The Bible is such a marvelous book concerning dates and so forth. When Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, it was on the same month and the same day of the month that the waters of the Red Sea parted and the Israelites were delivered from their bondage in the land of Canaan. And then as soon as they crossed the Red Sea, Miriam, Moses' sister, composed a song. And Miriam sang, and Moses sang. Why? Sing, O ye redeemed ones. Sing, those who have been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Sing, those of you that no longer are in the bondage of Pharaoh. Sing, those of you who are bound for the promised land. Sing, those of you who have been delivered from the waters of the Red Sea. Sing, redeemed ones. Sing. I never can understand you folks that sit here in the service and lean on your arm and never sing a song. Never join in singing. I'm so glad that up here in this head, there are probably 10,000 songs right up in here in this head. I know them all. You can hardly sing a song. I know the words. Why? From the time I was that high, I was singing the songs of God. This morning we sang here in this class, and little children sang in their classes, Jesus loves me. And the deaf folks sang with their fingers, and the Spanish folks sang in the Spanish language, and the adults sang the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he's prepared for us a place. Sing. When Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they sang. When Hannah looked in the tiny face of little Samuel, she had prayed for him. She had begged God for him. When Hannah looked in his face, she composed a song. She began to sing when she looked in the face. Oh, mothers, sing. Those of you that determine the future of the world, look at your child and sing. Those who rock the world on your knees, look at your child and sing. Put down your cigarettes and sing. Put down your cocktail and sing. Put down your cards and sing. Turn off the television and soap operas and sing. And take those children and rock them as dear Hannah did of old. I'm so glad God gave me an old-fashioned mother. She's very old-fashioned now. She's 91 years old-fashioned now. But I'm so glad I can recall when Mother put me on her knee when I was a boy and rocked me to sleep. And sometimes she'd use a big rock, and sometimes she'd use a little bitty rock, sometimes a brick. But when Mother put me on her knee and rocked me to sleep, this is one of the sweetest memories I have. My mother would sing, and she can't sing. I'm sure if Mr. O'Clair heard her sing, he'd make a deal with her, too. But she'd sing, brighten the corner where you are, brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar if you'd brighten the corner where you are. I can hear as she'd sing it now, and as she'd rock in the old red rocking chair about which I wrote one of my poems, I can hear as she sang, oh, this matter of being saved, it's a singing matter. It's a joyful matter. It's a happy matter. Sing. When David came to the death of Saul and Jonathan, David composed a song and sang the song at the death of Saul and Jonathan. Did you ever stop and think how dumb it is to sing at a funeral? You know, here we are, one of our beloved people is gone, and we're mourning, and somebody gets up and sings. It's not dumb at all. It's marvelous. It's dumb to the world, but it's marvelous. And sing! Sing! Sing when your loved one's been taken in death. Sing, David, when Abner is dead. Sing, David, when you say goodbye to Jonathan. Sing, David, when you say goodbye to us all. Sing, mother, when that baby is taken from your arms. Sing, wife, when that husband is taken from beside you. Sing, loved one, when that dear one is taken in death. Sing, when daddy is gone. You look at the cold, still face of the one who's offered you security all these years. Sing, sing it. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Sing at the funeral chapel. Sing at the beside the casket. Sing at the service of memorial. Sing as you walk to the graveside. Sing as they lower the casket. Sing! Sing the song of the resurrection. Sing the song of Jesus coming again. Sing! That's why we sing. That's why we're happy. That's why some of you folks criticized this morning. You leave and say, I just didn't feel worshipful. No, you meant you couldn't sleep well. That's your problem. But what you want, you can get the funeral home any day you want to go. You can get down to the funeral chapel. But we didn't come this morning to a memorial service. We came to a glorious service to remember that Jesus lives, and the song of Christ is in our heart, and Christ, the hope of glory, lives in here. And so sing. The nation Israel sang as they marched up to Jerusalem and up to the temple. The temple step, they sang. And when Israel laid waste, and Jeremiah looked and saw the country leveled and the walls leveled and the temple destroyed and the houses laid waste, Jeremiah wrote the Lamentations, and the Lamentations was even a song. And when Josiah died, Jeremiah sang, you know, the only thing in the world, now hear me carefully, the only thing in the world that gives you joy in your sorrow is Jesus. Now get drunk and you can be delivered from your sorrow for a while. Get high on narcotics and you have an escape from reality. But the only place in the world where in reality and with reality you can have a song is in Jesus Christ. Last night, Jack Hilliard. I want to say Hibbert. I don't know why. And he said, is John Penley sick? And I don't know if John is sick or not. He was sick. And he said, I can't picture John Penley being sick. That big old healthy looking guy, joyful fella. Can't picture John Penley being sick. And I said several months ago, John Penley was bad sick. And Jack said, John Penley is always happy. And I said, he is. I said, when he laid to rest little Danny Penley, I said, I can see him now as he came by the casket with a smile on his face and looked in the cold, lifeless form face of that little, and Jack said, I couldn't do it. And I said, I couldn't either. He said, I don't have what he has. And I said, I'm afraid I don't either. As he came by and looked in the lifeless face of little Danny. But you know, folks, I learned that years ago. I'd never seen anybody die. I was a kid preacher, pastor of a church out in the country, and I was about 21 years of age. And one night, late in the night, my phone rang, and they said, come quickly, Mrs. Munden is dying. And I got my dark suit on because somebody's going to die, and I got my dark Bible, got my dark tie, got my dark shoes, got my dark socks because I wanted to go down. Somebody's going into the valley of the shadow of death. And I drove down and scared to death, trembling as I drove. And then turned left and crossed a cattle guard. Some of you dumb city folks know what a cattle guard is. But across a cattle guard and opened the gate to the farm, the big farm area, and drove up on top of the hill. Old-fashioned house, the kind that had the hallway down the middle. And the back of the hall was a back porch and a well back there and a pump on the well. And on the first room on the left, I walked in, and Ms. Munden was lying there. And I walked up in a great crowd of people. And I was going to say, you know, dust to dust and ashes to ashes, you know. But Ms. Munden looked up and she said, "Hello, Brother Hiles. I'm about to go to heaven. Won't you come in? We're just about to sing." I said, "Sing?" "Yeah," she said, "we're going to sing. I'm going to heaven any minute now. We're about to sing." I said, "Oh, sure, we'll sing." And so Mrs. Munden reached out and gave me her cold hand. And then I held somebody else's hand. We formed a circle around the bed. And she, in that beautiful soprano voice, I guess 80-odd years of age, she began to sing, oh, with a clear voice and with a smile on her face, that old song we used to sing, "I'm longing for the coming of the Snow White Angel Band. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. I wish you knew the joy of the Lord. I wish you knew the new song. I wish you knew the lilt and the thrill. It's more to it than an Easter Sunday, an Easter bonnet, and a new dress, and coming to church for a while, looking at your watch, see when he's going to finish. More to it than that. There's a living Christ who wants to come into your life and give you a song, and a lilt, and a joy, and a thrill. For the 365 days a year, you can walk with him and have him with you and in you and his power upon you and his blessings with you." When Deborah and Barak departed, defeated Sisera, they composed a song. The Song of Solomon is a wedding song. We had some sweet weddings this week. We had a couple of folks get married that were middle-aged. The middle-aged lady had a family. She had a boy that's grown. He's married and they're expecting a baby. And so I married the couple, and I said, first time I ever married a man who was an expectant grandfather before he got married. And we had a beautiful, sweet time. And then the parents of the groom had their 40th anniversary on the same day of the wedding. And so they reenacted their vows. And then last night we had a sweet wedding. Yesterday afternoon, everybody but the flower girl wanted to cooperate. Flower girl's about 3 years old. She decided that she didn't want to cooperate. She stayed back there, and her mother said, "Now go on, go on." "Oh, no, no, I don't want to go." Just like any little smart 3-year-old girl would be. Listen, you stop and realize, the person that's shorter than those pew ends, that's like walking through a forest down here. And so she finally, she's supposed to go down hand in hand with the ring bearer. Ring bearer got down to here. She decided she wanted to join him after all. Down she came, running as fast as she could. And she got here, but she didn't feel led to stay. So back she ran again. And then she decided she wanted to come down again. So down she ran. I don't mean walking. I don't mean storing flowers. I mean running. And she decided she didn't want to feel led to stay again. And back. And then we came time to the bride. One of our young ladies grew up in the church, married one of our young men that she won to Christ off her bus route. First words she ever said to him were, "Shut up." It was in high school, in Sunday school C, and he was a bus kid, misbehaving, and she was one of the workers in the bus meeting, and she said, "Shut up!" And he shut up, and she said, "Be quiet!" And then she said, I don't think she did this for the Lord. She said, "You're going to have to come over and sit beside me so you can be quiet." And so he's going to sit beside the rest of her life, and he'll shut up the rest of his life too, by the way. But down the aisle they came. And I guess it was her grandfather, a man up in years, a little hard of hearing, grandfather. And I said, "Who gives the right of way?" And he didn't hear me. And so we waited and waited. "Who gives the right of way?" And he didn't hear me. And she tried to tell him what to do. And finally I said, "Who gives the right of way?" And he looked around. He said, "I will." And he did. You say, you're a bunch of strange people. I've never been to a church like this. I know. Full, isn't it? Yeah, it'd be full tonight, too. Yeah, sure. Well, what is it? Not a what, it's a who. See, it's the Lord Jesus. When he comes in, a song comes in. Now listen. You'd be amazed. You folks have been born again and walked with God. You know what I'm talking about. That lilt is always there. That song is always there. I don't think I ever am anywhere without whistling or humming or singing or something. The Lord Jesus put it there. You know, when Israel went into captivity, the Bible said they were known for their singing. They were known for their harp playing. And they put their harps on the willow trees and didn't sing because they're in a strange land. And they walked up and they said, "Sing us a song. We understand you folks sing well. We've heard about your singing." "Yeah, and sing us a song." And they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song? We're in a strange land." And they said, how can we sing? Well, that's when you're supposed to sing the Lord's song. Anybody can sing Up in the Grave Here Rose on Sunday morning. How about trying it Monday morning on the job? How about singing on a song? I used to work. I got out of high school. I tried to get a job. I couldn't find a job. World War II was on. I couldn't find a job anywhere except at the National Battery Company. Oh, what a miserable place. All that acid and all the, oh, my soul. But and those days, you couldn't quit a job unless you got a release, because it was wartime, and you just couldn't quit a job, especially if they made something that had to do with national defense, like batteries. I was a softball pitcher. A semi-professional softball team contacted me and said, we'll pay you a salary if you'll pitch softball for us. Oh, brother, all those acid-filled batteries and carrying those big old boxes and taking a chance on getting cancer, and now I got a chance to play baseball, to make a living just playing softball. I ran up to the boss, my foreman. I said, look, I want to quit. He said, you can't quit. I said, why? He said, the government won't let you quit. I said, look, I got a chance. I don't care what you got a chance to do. You can't quit. I said, I've got to quit. I've got a chance to get paid just for playing softball, pitching softball. He said, I don't care. You're here till the war's over. And I walked back out on the, I was crying. And the big boss came walking out. And he said, son, are you the fellow just in the office? And I said, yes, I am. He said, you can have your release. I said, wonderful. He said, you know why? I said, why? He said, because the songs you sing on the job. I was 17 years old. He said, I walked down the other day and you were working. He said, you were singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And he said, nobody's ever sung like that here. And he said, you brought me so many blessings, and you've excited me. He said, I just hang around you, hear you whistle, hear you sing the songs of God. Nobody sings the songs of God. He said, you can have your release because you've sung God's songs. The Lord's song in a strange land. Sing, factory workers. Sing. Sing, steel mill workers. Sing. Sing in the office. Sing at the shop. Sing at the business. Sing. Let this old heathen world know there's a song in the air that Jesus gives. You know, when the Israelites returned back from their bondage, they sang the 126th Psalm. When the Lord turned again the captive to Zion, we were like them that dream. I like that. Said, we're going to go back home. We can't believe it. Did you ever, you folks, maybe you just got married or you're about to get married, and the wedding day comes, and you say, I can't believe it. I knew it was going to come, but I can't believe it. Or maybe you waited to get your discharge from the army. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, 10,000 hosannas. And finally you get your discharge. And you say, I can't believe it. I feel like I'm in a dream. I don't think it's real. That's where they fell. 70 years they'd been in bondage. Their children had grown up in bondage. Their moms and dads had died in bondage. And now they're going back to their beloved land. And they're marching back to Jerusalem, back to the site of the temple, back to the walls leveled, but they shall rebuild, and back to where their homes once stood, and back to Mount Zion, and back to the Mount of Olives, and back to the temple site, and back to the holy city, and back to the Jordan River, and back to the Sea of Galilee, and back to Bethlehem, and back to Nazareth. And as they marched, they sang, when the Lord turned again the captive to Zion, we were like in the dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. You say, I don't believe no one laughing in church. You start heading for home, you'll believe in laughing in church. Oh, listen, I got discharged from the army. I took off for home. I laughed all the way. I laughed all the way. Oh, couldn't think of a thing. Going home. I'm going home too. I'm bound for the promised land. I'm going home. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. This morning I got up, as I do every morning, opened the drapes and looked out and said, Jesus, I'd love to see you today. I'd love to see you today. And one day, blessed be God, the Lord Jesus is going to come. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and the trumpet, and the shout, and the voice of the archangel, and my loved one shall rise, and we shall rise and meet him in the air. I'm going home. I've got to laugh a little bit. You folks not going home? No wonder you don't like to laugh. No wonder you criticize us that do. But blessed be God, The Lord Jesus lives in here. Heaven's my home, and this is my book, and the Holy Spirit's my comforter and power, and God is my Father, and Jesus is my Savior, and my older brother, and all the family of God are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Sing as they march back, they sang. And the Bible said, then, see, first it said, when the Lord turned again to captivity of Zion, we were like in the dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You never heard anybody sing, amen, amen, amen. And the heathen said, the Lord hath done great things for them. Nobody says that. Huh? But the people in this town that don't like me and don't like this church, they've said to me by the dozens, I don't agree with you. But the Lord sure has done great things for you. You know why? We sing. We sing. Sing when you're high and sing when you're low. Sing when you're up and sing when you're down. Sing when you're well and sing when you're sick. Why? We're marching to Zion, come we that love the Lord. Now our songs abound. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And then seven songs are found in the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke. The Ave Maria of the angel, the Magnificat of the Virgin Mary, the benediction of Zechariah, the evangel of the angel, the Gloria Excelsis of the angel, angelic choir, the beatitude of Elizabeth, and the song of the aged Simeon. Sing. Sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Sing it in December, and sing it in January, and sing it in February, and sing it in March, and sing it in July, and sing it in October. Sing, O little town of Bethlehem. Sing it! Sing! Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Sing it! Sing it! Sing silent night, holy night. Sing it! Let the whole world know that Jesus is alive all year long. Sing it. And then Jesus came to that Last Supper, and they're about to go to Gethsemane. Calvary is just in the shadows, and Gethsemane is on the way. Soon he's going to pray the great drops of blood, perspiration, let drops of blood flow from his brow. Soon he'll feel the kiss of betrayal by Judas, and soon he'll be led to the high priest, and soon he'll go to Pilate, and soon he'll go to Herod and be mocked, and soon back to Pilate. Soon his brow shall feel the crown of thorns, and soon his back shall feel the lashing of the cat of nine tails. And soon he'll feel the loneliness of the Calvary, and soon they'll strip him naked, and soon they'll put the King of Kings on a cross for a throne with no crown but a crown of thorns, and no scepter but a borrowed walking stick from a soldier, and no royal robe but an overcoat from a handed down second-hand overcoat, and no subjects but a cheering mob. Soon the sins of all the world will be placed upon him, and soon the Father will turn his back on him, and soon he'll cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? With all of that before him, with all of that just in the shadows of the next few minutes, our Lord Jesus passed the bread and passed the wine. And then the Bible says they sang a hymn. They sang a hymn. Sing at the Last Supper. Sing at Calvary on a hill far away. Sing at the cross where I first saw the light. God's people have always been a singing people. There's always been a song in the hearts of God's redeemed people. I hear Paul and Silas at midnight singing in the prison, bars breaking open, and the jailer falling down saying, what must I do? And Paul and Silas telling him how to be saved. I hear the early Christians singing in the subterranean caves known as the catacombs that they use for meeting places and burial grounds alike. I hear the singing in the Roman Colosseum of those of our founding fathers in whose blood we swim. I hear them as they sing before the lions come and devour them, and before they go to heaven by way of the jaws of wild animals. I hear them singing. By the way, something you folks don't know, most of you, and that is most of the Christians that were thrown to lions were young people, not older people. Most of them were teenagers and younger people. As many as 3,000 in one day. How did they go? History tells us they sang. Hear that. What did they sing about? We're told they sang mostly about the resurrection. Sing. Sing! Sing, I serve a risen Savior. Don't sing it on Easter Sunday alone. Sing it! Sing it in June, and sing it in August, and sing it in November, and sing it on Christmas, and sing it on Thanksgiving. Sing it! I'm afraid we sin packing the resurrection of one Sunday out of 52, and the devil keeps us from singing about the living Christ 364 days of the year. Sing. I hear the Reformation days. I hear Martin Luther, who wrote 3 dozen hymns, looking out at his people and saying to his people, "People, sing! We are God's choir on earth!" He said. I hear this morning millions singing around the world on this Lord's Day. I see Mel Trotter over here in Chicago not many years ago, a drunk, a vegetable. I see him as the doctor comes into his little girl's room where the little girl is dying. The doctor says, I don't think she can live. And Mel Trotter beside her, a vegetable, a drunken son! The doctor wrote a prescription out. They gave Mel Trotter some money and a prescription to go down to the drugstore and get the prescription filled to save the life of his daughter. Mel Trotter goes out the front door, looks down the left to the drugstore, looks down the right, and there's a tavern. He takes the money to buy the life-saving medicine for his little girl and goes to the tavern with it and gets drunk, and his little girl dies. He comes back home, and she's lying there in state. Mel Trotter said he walked up and saw that little girl and looked at those little still eyes that were closed, those little hands that won't move and feet that won't walk, and that little white, chalky face in death. And Mel Trotter said he was such a bum. He looked down and he saw those little white shoes. He reached down and untied the laces of those shoes and took those shoes and sold them and went back with the money to the tavern and got drunk with the money he'd stolen off the feet of his little shoes he'd stolen off the feet. His little daughter, he came back and he said, "I'm a wretch, it's no use to live." Went down the Chicago River to jump in to kill himself and take his wretched life. And as he walked down the Chicago River, he heard some singing. It was a Salvation Army group. And they were singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and the songs of God." Mel Trotter stopped to listen. The songs arrested him. He stopped to listen. Mel Trotter found Christ that day on the streets of Chicago, became one of the great Christians of his generation. Why? Because somebody sang. Because somebody sang the song, the joy of the Lord. I looked down through the dim corridors of the future, and I seem to hear voices sounding like thunder as they approach. I look down toward prophecy and I see, and then I begin to hear the song of the redeemed, "For we shall sing forever and ever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Dawn heard the stars sing, and eternity will hear the redeemed singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." From the time that the first star twinkled in the sky to the time that the earth shall crumble beneath the judgment of Almighty God, to the time that the New Jerusalem shall be beginning after 10 million years, singing fills God's universe. Singing. It is not a new story, it is an old one. You've heard me tell it, you've heard it, and you've told it. That day when Thomas Paine stood in the great Colosseum here in this country, lower floor, first balcony, second balcony, he disproved this dear old book to his own satisfaction, to the satisfaction of most of the crowd. Made light of God, made light of the new birth, made light of the virgin birth, made light of the deity of Christ, made light of all that you and I hold sacred and dear to our breasts. Finished, had moved that crowd like only Thomas Paine could move a crowd. There was a holy hush. No one would say a word because Thomas Paine, as his voice got higher, the folks would slide to the edge of their seats. As his voice began to coo like a bird, he would, like a dove, he would calm, and the people would wait and listen. And finally, when he finished, he stood, looked out at that crowd, and he said, "I have proved there's no God. I prove that the Bible is not true." He said, "I dare anybody in this house to stand up and prove otherwise. I dare you." looked out across the great sea of faces that I did, as I do this morning. No one said a word. He waited.
I dare you! Prove the Bible is true!
No one said a word. There was a hush. And then a voice like an angel came from the top of the second balcony. A little girl, 17 or 18, with hair that was blonde and a voice that sounded like an angel, stood. She did not speak a word. She just began to sing. And she sang, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead. Every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. As she sang, some folks up in the top balcony around her began to sing with her, for they knew the song. And then soon the entire top balcony was singing. And soon the second balcony joined her. And soon the lower floor stood in a mighty unison, marching like a marching army. They sang, stand up! Stand up for Jesus! The trumpet call! Obey! Forth to the mighty conflict! In this, his glorious day, ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered law. And they sang and sang and sang and sang. They finished singing. Not a dry in the house. And somebody said, what happened to Thomas Paine? And somebody smiled and said, he left when the young girl stood up for Jesus. Ha, sing.